This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Fourth and final hour on a Friday. It is the Zach Yelp Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is preparing to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We're also here with you as well on CBS Sports Radio across our great local affiliate, Sirius XM Channel 206. And also the radio.com application. We'll head out to the hotline right now. We'll chat some baseball and as the coronavirus is impacting the baseball world, the former big league closer, World Series champion with the Philadelphia Phillies. And that's Brad Lidge here with us back on the show. Brad, how are you and the family holding up? Thanks for the time.
Yeah, Zach, listen, thanks for asking about my family. We're all doing good. We're getting a little bit tired of being hunkered down. The online schooling is starting up, but I'll tell you what, everyone knows what I'm talking about. You got a few kids at home. It can become close quarters at times. So we're trying to find things to do during the days right now.
I think you appreciate their teachers a little bit more right now, correct?
Oh man, you're not lying. Yeah, teachers. We all knew they didn't make enough before. Now we really know. So. It is getting your kid fired up every day to try and learn things is a whole coaching them in sports is one thing, coaching them in school is an entirely different element.
Brad Lidge here with us on the show. How old are your kids, by the way, Brad?
Well, my daughter's 15, and actually at this point she's pretty darn self sufficient. She knows what she's doing online, and she can her teachers have sent her kind of information. They're on spring break right now, so. They really wouldn't be doing a whole lot these days anyway, but starting on Monday, she'll be going back to school and doing her thing. My son's 11 when this whole thing started, he was playing basketball, baseball. So, it's like you got to figure out ways to keep them entertained, ways to get them exercise, ways to keep their brains going. It's a lot, but it's also great to have a lot of family time. We'll see, a couple weeks if everyone hasn't driven each other crazy.
I think we're all in the same boat as Brad Lidge is here with us. So this is different for kids. This is different for adults. It's different for everybody. How do you explain this to your kids right now? Because, what's going on right now, it's scary no matter how old you are.
Well, it is. And I think, fortunately, there's enough ways for kids to be able to kind of talk to each other as well, with social media these days and kind of stay connected. And because of that, I think it makes it a little bit easier in some ways just to relay the information to them because they're all going through the same thing. They all understand that right now, something pretty crazy happened and it's very unusual. And, I always tell them, listen, mom and dad have never been through anything like this in our lives. So we're all going through this for the first time together. So maybe we can have some fun with it. When it's all said and done, we're going to look back and be able to tell, I let them know. I was like, someday you're going to tell your kids about this and this crazy time period that you lived through. And hopefully it's over before you know it. And we should just try and enjoy this time because hopefully we won't have anything like this happen again.
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears, as Brad Lidge is here with us on the Zach Yelp Show. Have you been binge watching anything recently, Brad?
Binge watched, Vikings. On History Channel, I've always been a big fan of that. I don't know about binge watching, but I've caught up on about two dozen movies here over the last 2 weeks. Seems like every night before I go to bed, I pull up another movie that I'm like, oh yeah, sure, why not? Haven't seen that in a while and fire it out. So you know, between Netflix and iTunes and, you know, DirecTV and everything else, I've got all the different things going right now. So I'll find something every single night to keep me busy.
I have not seen this show yet, but everyone's raving about it. And I actually have no interest because it was explained to me in a segment that we do called Onsides or Offsides earlier. Have you seen this show, Tiger King? Have you heard anything about it?
Tiger King. I have not heard about Tiger King. We've been rating. Is it on Disney Plus?
No, you're way off. It's like tigers and like people are trying to kill one another because owners like corrupt things. It's on Netflix, and I don't think it's a kid friendly show.
Okay, so it's not like the Disney things I was thinking about. Okay, so I guess that'll be when the kids go to bed. I can fire.
Yeah. I have not watched it. My producer and my board op are telling me I gotta watch it, and I go, after they explained it to me, I basically said I have zero interest. But for me, it's been a lot of Law and Order, a lot of King of Queens, and the John Taffer Bar Rescue show. I'm starting to get sick of those shows. I usually do like them, and you know what? You gotta go outside and get some physical activity, but you're not really supposed to get out of your house too much. You know that.
Well, yeah, you know, we've tried, and we're very fortunate to have a little bit of land around us, and you know, we get out there. My son hit wiffle ball golf balls today. We've done the wiffle ball baseball thing long enough. We went to golf balls today, so you know, we just go from sport to sport. You know, we try to set up a little makeshift soccer area for my daughter, who's can't do that in high school now. So it is tough, you know, trying to find ways to get exercise and have fun doing it, and not have it be monotonous. Those are that's definitely a challenge.
Give me the athlete side of it. Let's say you were still playing. We know how much baseball is a routine, and it's about reps, and it's about consistency and feeling in a good mental state. Now, not knowing when the season's going to start, and you already started with spring training, and now spring training obviously is not going on. If you were still playing, how would you try to still keep yourself ready to go with not wanting to do too much because you don't know when you're going to be good to go and when baseball is going to come back? So how would you try to approach that right now, Brad?
Yeah, it's a little crazy. I would basically treat it, and the guys I've talked to are kind of treating it like the second half of the off season, in which, look, you've taken your time off in the first half, you've been with your family, you've rested, you've recovered, you've played catch, and then the second half of the off season, typically mid-January to mid-February, you're throwing a lot of bullpens, and you're getting yourself and keeping yourself in baseball shape and getting your arm cranked up. It's somewhere in that, in that mold, except for there should be a little bit more intensity with each thing right now. And I would say this, it's kind of vital for a lot of guys to be able to find other players right now so that when they throw those bullpens, they can go. There's a lot of indoor places where major leaguers can go and meet up together. They can throw bullpens to hitters. They can put up that L screen and throw some live, do some live pitching to hitters inside of a cage. Hitters can keep their timing in check that way. But look, there's nothing that can simulate actual games and the environment around it and everything else. So that's why baseball will have to have, a couple weeks, 3 weeks to crank this thing up on the other side when everybody gets back after it, to get that timing down. But it's weird. In one sense, you want to keep your arm fresh, but in another sense, you don't want to kind of wear yourself out throwing tons of bullpens right now. I mean, you want to be ready for the season, but you also just don't want this thing to keep going on and on and throwing bullpens every other day. So I think, honestly, they got to get creative and mix it up, and they themselves have to try and have find ways to have fun with this thing, because the reality is you think you know a window. We've heard some of what Manfred said. We're hoping it's the end of May, but we just don't know. And so, what do you do with that? I mean, that's really hard. You just got to try and set a goal for yourself. Tell yourself, this is the only thing I know right now, so I'm going to get ready for this date. If it keeps changing and the rock keeps getting kicked down the road, then you just got to find, the next way to keep yourself ready and the next way after that.
And none of us knows. We're talking to Brad Lidge. I expect the commissioner to be optimistic. I'd be surprised, though, if we're back by the end of May. But really, no one knows what turn this is going to take next and when we're going to get back to some sort of normalcy. But you're saying probably 3 weeks, whenever they get the okay to return, players are probably going to need like an extended spring training of let's say 3 weeks to get back and to be good to go?
Yeah, I think so. I think 2 weeks is not quite realistic. I think 3 weeks makes more sense. Now, they're going to try and, condense that as much as possible. Maybe you play, two games every single day so everyone's getting their work and then the timing comes back fast. And, if you're a pitcher, you know, you're a bullpen guy, hey, you know, that's 20 days, 21 days, you know, get 7-8 outings and be ready. If you're a starting pitcher, you know, try and crank it up as fast as possible. But we know one thing's for sure, you know, even if they do have 3 weeks, pitchers, you know, wherever starting pitchers left off in spring training, they're going to have to crank it back up. Even if they're throwing simulated games that I was kind of mentioning, you know, in some indoor facility in a cage to a hitter, that's not realistic. I mean, it is to a certain extent, but it's not what you're actually going to be doing. So you're going to have probably at least 3 or 4, you know, starts before you'd feel comfortable. And even then, you're going to be limited to about 5 innings, I think, when this thing actually gets going. And that's why, you know, it appears MLB is going to be, you know, pushing that roster size to potentially 28, 29 people. 29 people, I think, is what I've heard most recently. When we do start back up, because that starting pitcher is just not going to be able to cover really more than 5 innings at that point. I mean, there is a way you could probably condense it to 2.5 weeks. I just think it would be impossible to do any less than that.
Brad Lidge here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. When we get to what the season could potentially look like, and once again, we don't know when it's going to start, so it's difficult to answer. But I think it's clear that we're not going to have 162 games. Do you have an idea to try to get as many games as possible, or is it just best to, you know, just cut a certain amount of games from the schedule?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really touch and go, right? Like, I think MLB is still trying to figure out a way to get 140 games in. I think that is not super realistic, but that's, I guess, a best-case scenario. Things start up, and, you know, toward the end of May, and they're playing a lot of doubleheaders, and they extend the season into October quite a bit. You know, if everything broke right, maybe 135, 140 games. But, gosh, I think it's more realistic to say, like, 100 and just try and figure out the, you know, everything you can do to get those 100 in. And, I mean, again, I say it's kicking the rock down the road, but, you know, I hope that we're able to do the optimistic side of that 140. I think more realistically it's going to be somewhere around 100, and even that is maybe going to be pushing it a little bit. But, you know, like you said, none of us can actually predict what's going to happen right now. I think sentiment will kind of determine a lot of things, and obviously we just have to kind of sit back and cross our fingers that this thing, you know, that the curve that they talk about has been flattened and that this thing gets, you know, going away as fast as it came.
Would you be in favor of reducing the game just for this year to 7 innings and trying to do some games of doubleheaders?
Yes, I would be in favor of that. And I know that not all the players would. I'm certain that not all the owners would. You're losing a couple innings of you know, concessions and everything else. But I think in order to be able to realistically, like, look, if you want to get you know, as many games in as possible, if that's really the plan, then yes, you have to be able to do you know, 7-inning doubleheaders here and there and just squeeze as much in as possible. The interesting thing is that, you know, in 2020, Manfred's been pretty open-minded. Baseball is evolving quickly for baseball standards anyways. You know, we heard about, you know, potential playoff changes, you know, before this thing even started, and I think that might be incorporated. There could be some interesting or different playoff structures this year. So I think there's a lot of options on the table, and because this season has been impacted, you know, the way it has by coronavirus, I think that Manfred will want to try and take advantage, and you'll want to kind of see if certain things might work in the future. So it's an opportunity to get a little bit creative with the schedule, you know, the 7-inning doubleheaders, trying to figure out where games work here and there, neutral sites, changing the playoff format. It's an opportunity as well. So you know, maybe it's a tough scenario, but there are opportunities for creative, fun things to happen in baseball. And if they play it right, they could end up doing some really cool things this year that actually end up making, you know, maybe even benefiting baseball.
Brad Lidge here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Do you like that idea that was being talked about of 7 teams making the playoffs and then certain division winners picking who they're going to play in that first round? Do you like that idea?
I kind of do. I got to be honest. I like the idea of seeing, you know, a team pick another team. I'm sure that teams don't like that idea. I'm sure that a manager, if he's the one in charge or general manager, whoever it's going to be, you know, the front office meets and then relays it to the manager and they all meet together. And then the manager says, whatever the scenario would be, I'm sure, you know, I think about, you know, a guy like Joe Girardi, I'm sure he would not want to do that, you know, but and say out loud, I want to play this team for some reason and have to answer all the questions about it. But That being said, I think baseball needs to interject a little bit of new life, a new blood, some fun, creative things to do. God knows the other sports can do them at will, and it doesn't impact anything. And I think in baseball, as fans, look, we all like to be purists, but at the same time, sports are evolving like crazy, and baseball needs to be okay having some changes here and there, having some fun with the game. Numbers and records in baseball aren't quite looked at the way they used to be when we held on to everything so sacredly. I think it's we can back off a little bit now and try and have some fun with the game.
Do you like the three batter minimum rule?
I'm okay with it. Like, you know, I think back about, you know, to a lot of the lefty specialists I played with, a lot of my good buddies, and I don't know if they necessarily would be, you know, having a job, let alone the same job, you know, now that they were before. But I think there's a lot of ways to, you know, potentially speed the game along a little bit. And I don't think we need to take off time, but I think there is a ton of downtime with all the pitching changes and stuff. And so if this eliminates a couple of those per game, then I'm okay with it. I think, again, there has to be some concessions that happen with baseball. Baseball needs to continue to evolve as well. So this isn't – I'm a little bit surprised how easily this one passed through on the players' union side, but I don't think I would put up a big squawk to this one either.
Brad Lynch here with us on the show. You know, there's always talk across sports, and, you know, I say this also with the Jeff Passan tweet when he was listening to Criteria today on how – the MLB season will begin, and he said in one of his tweets that there's no bans on mass gatherings that will limit the ability to play in front of fans, and there was a caveat to that. But let's just say hypothetically, if baseball gets the okay to return, and let's say there's no fans in there, as a player, how much does that affect you if you're playing in front of no fans?
I think it impacts the players a lot. I mean, listen, especially in a position like closing out a ball game, where you're living on adrenaline and you're living on that, you know, that roar from the crowd or the boos from the crowd when you're going on the road, you know, that extra intensity that the fans bring to a game, to a stadium, it impacts a lot of players. And I think that for some guys, maybe they get a little bit too amped, and for some, they might actually perform better in that environment where there's nobody in the seats. But for others, I think it's gonna take away from them quite a bit. And, you know, a lot of guys, like I said, they kind of live on adrenaline out there, pitchers especially, but sometimes guys need that kind of heightened state where everything around you is as intense as it is to be able to perform at their highest level. And so I think it will impact some guys. I think especially relievers aren't going to have, you know, like if you're throwing several days in a row, you kind of need that extra bump of adrenaline when you run out from the bullpen and you're pitching at home and the fans get on their feet. That really goes a long ways. And if you don't have it, then I don't really know. I mean, listen, you know, everyone likes to run out to their favorite song out of the bullpen, but if you're not playing that, I mean, if there's no fans there, I don't think you're going to be playing any music. So I think it's a whole other feel and a different environment, especially for a reliever.
Brad Lynch here with us on the Zach Gelb Show for a few more minutes. When we look at your career and you look back at that World Series championship in Philadelphia and going perfect with 41 saves in the regular season, how do you look back on that? And also your mentality when you were not blowing any saves. Like, did every night you just go to the ballpark and then eventually as the streak started to develop and start to happen and more attention was being put on it, did you feel that pressure? Were you just so locked in that you were so confident in what you had?
You know, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to that streak for certainly the first half of the season. I wasn't, you know, nobody was really talking about it. It was just, I was having a really good, you know, kind of comeback year. And then the second half of the season, kind of more and more people were talking about it. And the way I kind of said it was, look, at any given point, I could blow a save. If you want to talk about it, great. But I also knew that so much, you know, depended on, listen, you know, if your defense plays great that night, you might have a bad outing. They might pick you up. You could blow a save and pitch great and have a couple broken bat, you know, shots to get in there, or an error could happen. And that's a blown save. So I didn't try and put a ton of stock into the save streak, but I'll tell you, definitely during the postseason, I remember, you know, a couple questions about, hey, listen, wouldn't it be horrible, you know, to blow a save now after going through a perfect season? And, you know, it's just one of those questions you know you're going to get. And, you know, at that point, I'd already been through, you know, quite a decent chunk of ups and downs in my career. So I kind of took it with a grain of salt. Just, you know, I had a really good kind of mental thought process and focus that whole year. And when I got out on the field, I felt very locked into each pitch and to each moment. And, you know, it's always a cliche, but it's really true. When you can kind of slow things down and just really focus on your job at hand, like doing one hitter at a time, one pitch at a time, typically you get better results. And I think that was the year that I was kind of mentally locked in the most on doing that. And fortunately, the results were great, but I had some incredible defense behind me. And because of that, I always felt like, you know, even if we were up only one run and the guy hit a leadoff triple, we were going to do something that was going to get out. Maybe I was going to strike a guy out. Maybe he was going to hit a line drive and we'd get a double play out of it. I don't know. But I always felt like it was going to work out.
Bredlidge, if you had to give me your three best moments, like the first three memories that come to mind when you look back at your career, what are the three moments?
Good question. So obviously 2008 and you know, the final pitch of the World Series is certainly one. I guess the other two that kind of jump out right now are in 2003, my first full season, the first time we were ever in Yankee Stadium. Roy Oswalt, yeah, the no-hitter in 2003 against the Yanks, where I was fortunate enough to be in the right spot at the right time and got the win, and that was a huge just thing for me, I think, at that point in my career. And then 2005, my first All-Star game, striking out the side in Detroit was a pretty sweet moment as well.
Do you remember the three hitters that you struck out in 2005?
All right, let me think about it. We had Mike Sweeney was one. Garrett Anderson was another one. And Melvin Mora was
wow.
The third.
I'm going to take your word for what it's worth. I'm going to assume that you got it right. But that had to be so cool, though. Like your first All-Star game, after seeing it for so many years, to be able to be a part of it with all the other great players, you must have been like a big kid in a candy store, right?
I mean, it really was incredible just to be in that same clubhouse with all those other guys. And you know, I was probably a green fly for sure, trying to get autographs everywhere and, exchanging, bats and gloves and hats and having everybody sign stuff. It was an unbelievable experience. And, you don't forget something like that. And I just felt so great. You know, La Russa got me in the game to get an inning in. And, I had so much adrenaline. I was really just trying to, make sure that I was able to kind of catch my breath and not airmail, the pitch to the backstop. And, fortunately, it translated into some good stuff that day. And I got out of there quick and, came out and afterward. And I was like, I was actually, Roger Clemens was in the, it was in the clubhouse and I came in and he missed it. And he asked me, how it went. And I didn't even really know how to explain it to him. I was so excited. So it was just a really cool environment and game and just, of course, memory that I'll never forget.
Well, Brad, good luck to you and your family. Hang in there, and hopefully we get some baseball back soon. Really do appreciate the time this evening.
Awesome, Zach. Yeah, I will be crossing my fingers to get it back for as much for Little League and everything else as it is for the Major League.
You got it. You be well. There's Brad Lidge on the show. 23 past the hour. Come on back. We'll do a news brief. Great stuff right there with Brad Lidge. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's time to get to a news brief. Let's roll.
For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Carolina Panthers new quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. Here is he speaking on filling Cam Newton's shoes.
I'm aware of the situation that I'm coming to. It's a unique situation for me. All I have to do is continue to be myself. Last year, I don't want to speak on New Orleans. New Orleans too much, but when I was in New Orleans, I was behind the guy in Drew Brees. And, I knew that when Drew got injured, I had big shoes to fill in. And I just constantly reminded myself to just be you. Be the best version of Teddy that I could be.
And we also hear more from Teddy Bridgewater. Here is how he's actually playing Madden in isolation to help him learn more about the Panthers roster. Let's get a little video games, Teddy. What you got?
You get a feel, for the roster, some of the guys on the roster. So that's a huge help. But you also have the internet for that. But, just being able to play in video games with these guys, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, those guys, and and realize how awesome they are on the video game. It excites you. Like, man, I can't wait to see these guys in person.
Now, here's my question. Is Teddy Bridgewater going to play better in Madden this year or better on the football field? 855-212-4CBS. Here's more of Teddy Bridgewater on advice for his past self on the day after that disastrous knee injury with the Minnesota Vikings.
I would just go back and tell myself, you know, from the moment I was on the ground, you know, screaming in pain, I would just go back and tell myself that, you know, it's a part of the race. Life is a race, and we all have to run our own race. And within that race, we have to focus on what's in our lane. And for me at the time, you know, I had stumbled in my lane, but not knowing where to be in. It was a race that I had to finish. And I'm not saying that I completed the race yet, but, you know, I'm back in the race, and it's a great feeling to be back in it.
Next cut, we go to Adam Schein of Mad Dog Radio. Love Adam Schein. My guy, our guy, your guy, Adam Schein, had Bills quarterback Josh Allen on the program, and he's thrilled with the Stephon Diggs acquisition.
I'm still pumped about it. I'm still floating on cloud nine right now. I just can't wait to get to work with him, obviously, with all this stuff going around, traveling and trying to get in touch and start throwing with him. That's going to be a little delayed, but, I mean, I just want to get back to work. We've been staying in contact and trying to devise a plan of how we can get together, but, man, the things that he can do on the football field are unbelievable. The route running, the way he can make contested catches. And, you know, I've talked to him on the phone a couple times, and just how cool of a dude he seems. Like, he's going to match in very well with our wide receiver group. He's going to match well within our locker room and our team. And big-time playmaker, and, you know, he's going to help us out a lot this year.
He should be pumped up. When you're an organization, even though they gave up a lot, you want to help out your young quarterback, and your young quarterback's going to be in an exuberant mood when you get a very good player in Stephon Diggs. You can still vote on our poll question, by the way. Out of these three quarterbacks, who will play the best during the 2020 NFL season, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, or Baker Mayfield? I did a Snapchat where when I was reading that question in, I don't know, 2-3 segments ago, and I sent to a bunch of people. One of them was Bills offensive lineman, a college buddy of mine, and Deion Dawkins. Who do you think the Schnellman voted for? He wrote back, he goes, I'm voting for my guy and Josh Allen. So, Bills Mafia, we could add another vote for Josh Allen in that poll question. Right now, 39.1% of the audience, though, say Sam Darnold, 33.9% say Josh Allen, and 26.9% say Baker Mayfield. My vote right now is for Josh Allen, so I agree with Deion. We go from Buffalo to New Orleans. Saints fans are very excited. We had DeMario Davis on the show earlier. But Cam Jordan was also on our network earlier today, and he's grateful Drew Brees and Sean Payton have stayed around so long.
I haven't had to deal with it yet. I mean, in 9 years, I've heard rumors of Drew leaving every other year and Sean leaving every other year than that. I mean, at some point, you know, I don't believe anything until they actually do it. Once Drew says, hey, I retired, I still expect him to change his mind within the month.
And Cam Jordan also is confused why Jameis Winston, who was once in his division as the Buccaneers quarterback, isn't in demand right now.
That's more perplexing than Tom Brady going to Tampa. I mean, you talk about a guy who throws for 5,100 yards, who, again, has 30 TDs. Yes, he has 30 interceptions. But there's plenty of teams that are in need of a quarterback who has the ability to not only compete, but to compete at a high level and throw for 5,000 yards.
There's three teams right now that you could make a case for Jameis Winston. The New England Patriots, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Jacksonville Jaguars to start right away. For the Patriots, they're going to go with Jarrett Stidham. For the Chargers, maybe they go Cam. You know, if they want to bring in Jameis, I'd be okay with that. And then for the Jaguars, they're going to go with Gardner Minshew. The problem with Jameis Winston, and Cam Jordan said it right there, the yards are there, the touchdowns are there, but the guy throws 30 interceptions. And in addition to that, you can't sit him down and bring him into your own building right now and try to figure out where his head is, because there's been a lot of character problems and a lot of bad decision-making with Jameis Winston. So it's going to be fascinating to see where Jameis lands and where Cam Newton lands as well. Let me get to Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham now with the Bears. says he still has more left in the tank.
I'm still fast, you know, and I still have the ability to make big plays. Obviously, over the last 2 years, it's been very difficult for me. You know, I think it's lit in the fire, and I know what player I am, and I know what I can do. So for me, this is a great opportunity to prove myself.
Is Jimmy Graham going to have a very good, great year with the Bears this year? I don't really expect it. Last year, 38 receptions, 447 yards, 3 touchdowns. The year prior to that with the Packers, 55 receptions, 636 yards, and 2 touchdowns. In 2017, he did have 10 touchdowns, 520 yards, but he is far removed from that 2013 season when he had over 1,200 yards and 16 touchdowns. So, Jimmy Graham, that's the big acquisition for Mitch Trubisky. Yikes, don't love it. Let's go to Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network talking about Roger Goodell. And he made it very clear, Roger Goodell, that the draft's going to go on. And if you don't like it, well, your criticism inside the National Football League from NFL employees does not help.
The NFL sent a letter to agents and marketing agents of top players outlining what they envision the draft to look like. And we've seen for years shots of players in their living room reacting to getting drafted. Sounds like we're going to see a lot more of that. The NFL may even send prospects an iPad and a MiFi to make sure that they're able to broadcast virtually. It seems like the whole world has been on Zoom the last week or so. We may see draft prospects on that too. Anything to take us into their living room since, you know, we can't actually really go there now or anywhere.
General managers have been asking the league to push it back. They continue to try to request that behind the scenes. They feel like there's still a chance that they can get the league to move on that, but they also felt that way about free agency, and they didn't move it.
I actually applaud the commissioner, Roger Goodell. We don't need the NFL draft, but we want the NFL draft in a month. So you know what? The commissioner made a decision. Every business right now is going through tough times, and they don't know if they're making the right or wrong decision, but you would think the people in the position of power are doing their best to make the right decision. And I very rarely defend the commissioner. You know, I usually kill the commissioner and Roger Goodell. I'm not a fan of Roger Goodell. But here, he made a decision. And I respect him for saying, this is our decision. You know what? We're all going through a lot of stress right now. If you don't like it, that's fine. But basically, shut your mouth. And if you make something up and you say something speaking out against it, it doesn't do us any good. So I'm going to fine you if that's the case. Usually I would not defend that line of thinking, but in here, we don't need criticism about this by our own in the National Football League. The draft can go on, and the commissioner's saying the draft will go on, and I like that he's telling all these GMs to basically zip your lip and go along with the show, and you're going to have to alter your life because everyone's having to alter their life right now. Man, the baseball season was supposed to start yesterday. Well, we didn't have that happen, obviously, with the coronavirus, but we did get a video from Dodgers Twitter of Vin Scully. Let's listen.
Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. Excuse me, that's form of habit. But wherever you may be, that means most of you are home, just as I am, waiting, hopefully, for opening day. I trust all is well. I hope you are far and away from any sickness, and I miss you. You know, when I retired, people asked me, what do you miss the most? And I told them, I miss the roar of the crowd, and I miss the people that I saw daily in the stadium, the workers, the ushers, the ladies cooking the hot dogs. I miss the ladies running the elevators up and down. Those were the people, the ladies who worked in the lunchroom. And, of course, in the press room, the writers. In other words, I didn't really miss the players because once I got involved with radio and TV, I didn't have a chance to hang out by the batting cage. Also, I stopped trying to hang out once the players started to call me Mister. Anyway, these are tough times. Certainly, I don't have to tell you that. But having lived as long as I have lived, I've seen this country, the greatest country on earth, get off its knees, literally and figuratively. When they were down and out during the Depression, and when they were on their knees after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And what happened then, they unleashed a tiger. The tiger was the whole country pulling together and getting not only back on its feet, but saving the whole world. So you and I, yeah, things are tough, but we'll be up off our knees soon. And we just want to remind you about that. And in the meantime, spend the precious time at home with your family. Pray a little bit more, like most of us will do. And above all, try to smile. Because when you smile, that makes everybody else feel better. God bless.
I'll never forget my dad would used to imitate Vin Scully for one of Koufax's legendary performance, his perfect game, when he struck out Harvey Keene. And you would have my dad imitating Vin Scully, who would say, September 9th, 1965, the time on the scoreboard is 9:44, 2-2 to Harvey Keene. Every time I hear Vin Scully, that's what I think about calling the Sandy Koufax perfect game where he did strike out Harvey Keene. And then finally, Mike Francesa, the sports pope, the legend, is making a return to the airwaves on CBS Sports Radio. That's right. Now on Sundays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., you could listen to Mike Francesa right here for the foreseeable future on CBS Sports Radio. 10 years ago to this day, Mike Francesa was actually talking about a young Zach Gelb and Zach's potential broadcasting career.
Gelb told me that he's going to be a sports banker. Oh, my God. Now he wants his kid. Zach's going to, I know Zach was born. Now Zach's going to be a sports guest. Oh, my God.
When we translate that, was Mike saying Gelb has no shot to be a broadcaster, or he was really just that floored and in stunned disbelief that I wanted to be a sportscaster, seeing this wacky side of the business? So you can listen to Mike's On 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday across many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 206, and the Radio.com application. I also saw DA is going to be doing a show as well. I believe that's on, is that on Sunday or Saturday when we have DA? Let me check real quickly on the schedule. DA is going to be on Sundays, right after Mike, from 1 to 4. So you get some extra DA. And then Maggie and Moose will be on from 4 to 7. They've done a bunch of shows before on CBS Sports Radio. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.